Blog Talk Radio.
Your girl Lushy Lush and my girl Rhonda Supreme, and tonight we got an awesome show called Stolen Justice featuring Marissa Alexander, and today's show is going to be powerful, and you're going to have your wonderful host Rhonda Supreme, and she's going to take it away. Rhonda, you want to inform the audience, whole story behind this event today?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you Lush for having me on your radio station and enabling me to actually bring this platform to your station, because it's really important. My show, On the Ground with Rhonda Supreme, I always want to focus on helping our community, you know, moving our community forward. There's so many issues and so many obstacles in our community that is holding us back, generations after generation. So it's not something new. This is something that's been going on since we came here. You know, most of the people think that everyone that is of color, you know, black people came on slave ships. But no, there were black people here in the United States before that. You know, we found that out. You know, society tries to hide the truth from us. They try to only disseminate information that benefits the people in power. So now that we have the internet and we have social media and we have all types of ways to find out information, we're finding out that a lot of things that were taught to us, told to us for years were untrue. A lot of things that were the truth were kept from us. So we're finding out these things. You know, it's going to help our children, you know, the generation that is coming up after us. It's going to help them with their self-esteem, because they're going to actually know who they are, you know, and
exactly.
They're actually going to know, like, what great come from. Isn't that beautiful, though, that they have that,
definitely,
you know?
Definitely.
Our parents weren't privy to that information.
They can't hide the information from us anymore now that we have the World Wide Web, the internet, social media.
No.
So if you're looking for the truth and you want to be in the know, I mean, it's a wealth of knowledge out there. You know, you just have to be open to be able to embrace it.
Exactly. Like, open your mind. Because, you know, some people don't want to believe what they're finding out, the new information, the real information that's coming forward. A lot of times they don't want to believe it because they, you know, they are taught, you know, we're taught from a young age in schools and on television information that's not necessarily true. And, you know, you become accustomed to believing it. But when you know in your heart, we know in our heart what we are and where we come from and what we are going to be. We know. So it's good. I'm really happy that we're living in this time. We still have challenges, and that's what we're going to get to today. you know, what Marissa Alexander went through over the last few years has been a challenge. You know, there's issues, there's laws in place in certain states, and just constitutional laws that are in place over the entire United States that are questionable. They're unjust. They might even be old laws, you know, laws that have been on the books for hundreds of years, or, you know, even 50 years, that no longer should apply nowadays. And this is what we really need to discuss, because, you know, people don't realize, you know, when you vote, a lot of people just go to vote when it's a presidential race, but you have to vote at the local levels. You have to vote, you know, for Senate and Congress, because those are the people that are actually making the changes. Those are the people that are putting the laws on the books. It's not so important, you know, when it comes to the president, because he really has not much say on what we're talking about, what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about gun laws, you know. So people do need to get out there and vote. And I know a lot of people I know don't think it matters. But let me tell you, on a local level, it does. You can make a change. So we need to get out there and push for people to go out there on those in-between elections, in between those 4 years, and get out there to make changes for be able to, you know, progress. Because the laws that are on the books, some of them shouldn't be there. So we're going to talk to Marissa about that. She also has her attorney that's going to be calling in too, which is going to be, that's going to be really nice. Robert Petillo, he's very influential in the United States. So he has a talk show. He's on CBS, and he also has worked with some high profile people like Jesse Jackson. And you know, we're going to be really interested to hear with both of those people. Oh my goodness, Marissa and Robert have to say to us today. You know, we're really honored to have them have a conversation with us today, and we're really honored that they were able to make time for On the Grind with Rhonda Supreme today. You know, we love our listeners. You know, that's my motto. We love our listeners. We want to give you, you are interested in hearing. We want to give you things and conversation that actually can assist you in your life. You know, so this topic today is definitely going to be able to assist you, because it's going to give you information that you could possibly utilize in the future. And if not you, someone else. So what we want you to do is tell everybody about what the show is going to bring you today. And it's going to be regarding Marissa's experience with the gun law that was on the books in Florida. And I'm pretty sure that it still is at this time, because they're fighting to actually get these things changed. But Marissa's doing a lot of great things. She's on the talk show circuit. She's going to be a guest on Good Morning America. So there's going to be a lot of interesting events that she's going to be attending. And I'm really excited about it.
I think it's going to be amazing. I mean, we're going to talk about, you know, like she stated before, obviously, basically the gun law, dealing with domestic violence, you know, when the message of that, you know, just standing up for your rights as a female. Because sometimes a lot of things go just under the rug when it comes to female rights and things of that matter. And just dealing with constitutional rights in general, which a lot of things.
Okay. Oh, you know what? We can't hear you very clear. There you go.
Can you hear me now?
A little better. Yes, there you go. So repeat that. Yeah, repeat that, because that sounded like something that we really needed to hear. Repeat.
Okay, so what I was trying to state was that I think today we're going to be talking about, you know, just domestic violence, you know, the gun laws, and sometimes as females, you know, our rights are swept under the rug when it comes to dealing with justice in general. We're going to talk about her transitioning into getting her life back after, you know, incarceration, and some kind of advice for just women dealing with, you know, these domestic issues, and, you know, just knowing the law and knowing your rights in general out here, because, you know, the system sometimes tries to manipulate, you know, people of, you know, minorities because they don't know the law very well. So therefore we're subject to, you know, long sentences that are actually unfair and unjust, you know. So we're going to be talking to her about that, and we're going to go to a song. Would you want to go to a song? We're going to have them soon on the phone in a few minutes.
Absolutely.
You know, so we're going to go to Marvin Gaye, "What's Going On?" Because what's going on, world? Let's talk about
it. And it's still relevant.
Call in
that song is still relevant.
Exactly.
Yes, it is.
Exactly.
Hey, what's up, man?
Brother, what's up?
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've and pick it back. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on? Oh,
right now. Right now.
Right.
And we're back. That was Marvin Gaye. What's going on? And what's going on, world? We're going to have the wonderful Marissa Alexander alive on the line with the beautiful Rhonda Supreme and your girl, Lushy Lush. And we're going to be talking about, you know, how she overcame all these adversities. So we're going to go live on the line and see who we have in the house with us.
Yes.
904, you're live on the line on Lush Radio Online with Rhonda Supreme and Lushy Lush.
Yes, hey. Welcome to the show.
So thank you for having me. This is Marissa.
Hey,
Marissa.
Very happy to have
ladies.
You today. Thank you. You know, on my intro to the show, I said, thank you for allowing me this opportunity. Absolutely. And thank you for giving us your time. I know you're very busy. I was looking at your ETK, and oh my goodness, you're doing so much. And we are so grateful to have you speaking and doing so much for the community. Thank you, Marissa. Thank you.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. And I'm grateful that you all allowed me to come on your radio station and actually speak. So thank you.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
If I didn't have it any other way, I would not. Do we have another caller on the line as well?
Not at this moment, we don't.
Not at this moment? Okay. That's great. Well, Marissa, we were having a conversation just before we listened to Marvin Gaye. And what I was saying, Marvin Gaye's song, What's Going On, is still relevant today. And that says a lot, you know. That means that things still have to change, which is not a good thing for us in our community. You know, we shouldn't still relate to that song or any other political song that was created maybe 50 years ago. You know, there's no way that this should be happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that means we have a lot of work to do. And because, you know, like me, I have children. I have two black sons, you know, and I am concerned, you know, with them and all their friends, you know, whether they're female or male. I'm concerned about their lives. You know, I did have a conversation with a girlfriend just last week that when I actually gave birth to my oldest son, I cried in the hospital room when they put him on me, to lay him on my stomach, because I knew what he'd have to go through during life. Not because I was happy, because I was happy, because he was beautiful. But it made me sad that I knew just because he was a black boy and he would have to grow up, you know, in his skin, that he would have to experience things that were unfair. And it just saddened me. So, you know, I'm very vocal when it comes to our youth and our children, because I want life to change for them. So we appreciate you. We understand that you went through something that, you know, no one should have to go through. But we appreciate the fact that you're taking that experience and you're going forward to make a change for all of us. We really do. We appreciate
Definitely.
That.
Definitely.
Yes.
I came up
in
the other way.
You overcame a lot. Definitely. Oh, you overcame a lot. What do you feel you've learned through this whole entire journey for you, per se, that you've learned that, you know, and some advice you want to give the audience out there that might be dealing with something like this, that have done something like this in their life?
You know, overall, it was important for me to take what I was going through and what I had to experience and decide it was a pivotal moment for me to transform. So outside of what was going on that I could not control, I could control how I responded to it, in the sense of, this is happening for a reason. What am I supposed to get out of it? You know what I mean? Like, what exactly am I supposed to take from it? Because I knew that, you know, my life had purpose. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, you know, understanding that aspect of it and what you don't have control over, and then having faith and then saying, okay, God, what exactly do you want me to get out of it? Because whatever it is you want me to get out of it and do, I will do. And that was my attitude. Like, I didn't want to come out of it and be, you know, not that I was a bad person before that, but I didn't want to be the same person. I wanted to be even better. I wanted to be
mm-hmm.
what he wanted me to be to carry out my purpose. And so that was what I got of it. So ultimately, if I had to paraphrase it and put it in a nutshell, it was really to transform. Because I think
right.
when people look
mm-hmm.
at change, and change is difficult. Change is like, oh, God, you know, it's a momentous thing. But the truth of the matter is change happens over time, and it's a process, and it's a transformation. It doesn't happen overnight. Doesn't happen even in a year. I can tell
right.
you I'm a different person than I was when I went in 2 years from that, and then 2 years from now, even being on probation and doing an ankle monitor. So transformation is a process. It will be a WIP, which is a work in progress forever.
That's absolutely
definitely.
True.
And when she talks about change, we always talk about a book called Who Moved My Cheese, and it states that, you know, change comes by force or by will. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
a person has to want to change in order for them to, you know, change
Not
their entire life, you know, definitely.
That is true. Yeah, so that, you know, that whole experience, it seems to me, it caused you to grow. And like you said, transform. So a lot of people can learn from that. You know, a lot of people resist change, you know, and look at it in a negative way, which it was a negative
mm-hmm.
experience. But
mm-hmm.
you were strong enough. And see, that says a lot about you. You were strong enough to take that and make it into something that is positive now for us. You know, you're doing
mm-hmm.
a lot for the community. So, that's great. We commend you for that, absolutely. And people can learn from that. Other people can learn from that.
Right.
Maybe someone is listening
right.
who actually
mm-hmm.
is going through something, and maybe now they can take from that and make that a part of what their experience is. Thank
right.
you. Yeah,
and I mean,
great.
I can tell you that it was difficult. I mean, word I wouldn't even use difficult to describe the days. These days I wanted to give up. There's days I wanted to not live anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I'm
of
not
going
to tell you that I was strong. I was not. You know what I mean?
No.
I did the very best, and what I had to do was draw on a strength that was greater than me, and that's the decision you just have to make. You have to understand where you're limited at and where, you know, in my opinion, where God is all power and very unlimited at. So I did everything. I just made the choice. The choice was to never give up. The choice was giving up wasn't an option, and I was not going to lay down. That was the choice. And then outside of that, you know, whatever, you know, God could do, that he would increase that. And so that's where things started. And this is faith. It's just a matter of saying, you know what, in spite of this, I'm going to decide to see myself on the other side. I knew I wasn't going to do 20 years. I just didn't know when it was going to be over.
Right.
You know what
you
I mean?
Knew.
So
right.
never, yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, yeah, never settling into the fact of what somebody else said that my life was supposed to be. I know my life was greater than that.
Definitely.
I just didn't know what it was supposed to look like. So that was kind of the process.
Marissa, I had
a
question for you.
Know,
in regards to like knowing the law, as this is minorities,
mm-hmm.
a lot of us don't know the law when we're dealt with situations like yours.
We don't.
How important is it to know the law, at least some of it, when you're in a situation?
It's important from the standpoint of knowing your rights and,
uh-huh.
you know, being able to
mm-hmm.
Read stuff on your own. So, you know, we're in the
mm-hmm.
generation of, you know, soundbite, quick now, you know, put some information out there and believe it. It's like nobody will, you know, the saying is you want to know something, put it in a book, you're going to read it.
Yeah.
Like, research. Do the stuff on your own. And so it was turned out that things were being said or things were being done. I was like, nah, that's not what this says. This is not the way it's supposed to go. And then having enough, you know, intestinal fortitude to ask the question and to say, you know what, nah, I'm not going to do that. And essentially, you know, there were things that were being done that I was like, okay, not me. You know, I just refuse to be not going to put me in that position because my skin is a couple of shades darker. I just refuse to do
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
And so, you know, that's where you have to read and know your stuff because knowledge is power. You know, it sounds like a cliche, and it is, but it's so absolutely
true.
It's very true. I think people really, you know, they underestimate what knowledge can actually do because once you know that, then people can't tell you. And if you say, wait a minute, I know this isn't right, and so I have the power to decide based on facts versus what you're trying to do or trying to say to move me in a position or manipulate. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. We do. Yes, knowledge is power. And, you know, it's important in life, just not even when it comes to the laws, period. But I'm glad you made that point. You know, people can say anything, and they can actually create documents and books and things like that. So you really do have to do your research and find out what the truth is when it comes to that. But you actually have you have a good lawyer on your side, so that's important as well too. You know,
right,
like you were bringing up, to know the law, but to get the right person on your side, that makes mm-hmm. a big difference. It really does.
It does. I was fortunate enough to have the I call them the dopest team of attorneys.
That's right.
Because you know,
okay,
they absolutely cared about me. You know what I mean? Like, it was
mm-hmm.
nothing about what everything else was. It was about, they know the law. They're brilliant, but they actually cared about me, you know, as if I was their own. You understand what I'm saying? So it was a lot of things,
yes,
that, you know, they were like, okay, no. And, you know, and a lot of people in that situation, a lot of defendants that go through the situation, these attorneys, they're numbers and paychecks to them. You know what I mean? And so they
yes.
don't get that level of care. And then, you know, for me, because just personality-wise and the fact that I was educated, there was things that, you know, prior to the team that I had on the appeal, that the first attorney would tell, you know, we would have, you know, and I think he did the very best that he could do, but it would be times when me and him would have, you know, I would, you know, spit venom if I had to, if I wasn't in agreement with something was going on. I played an active
mm-hmm.
role in my second trial. I mean, I literally, and my attorneys will tell you this, I was working with them on my second trial. I was gathering data and saying, okay, this, I was listening to things and put them in documents. So I was active.
Wow.
If we were to go to the second trial. Oh, yeah, because this is my life. You know
it
what
is.
I mean?
Exactly.
At
when your life
day,
is on the line, you got to do what you got to do.
Exactly.
But I'm living in it. Yes. Like I'm picturing you doing this. It's just powerful. It really is.
Yeah, I just was like, you know, I'm granted the dopest attorneys ever, but they encouraged me to do so, but it took little to zero encouragement, because I was like, you know what, if you're not going to fight for your life, nobody's going to do it like you're going to do it. You know
yeah.
what I mean? And so there was no failure, and giving up was not an option. So the option was, this is what I had to do. So they welcomed it. They would send me stuff. Hey, you know, what about this, this, that, and the third? Okay, and I throw it in a spreadsheet or in a document and send it to them. You know, whatever to make
yes.
your job easier, whatever it is to help
yes.
you to go to bat for me, than I was willing to do.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you learned a lot.
I did. I really did.
Yeah.
She might have very well became a lawyer herself. All the information
yeah, that's
she
not,
found.
You probably could at least be a paralegal at this point. So
exactly.
What you learned
I wish I could do it, but I don't have any of me.
No, I know. You're busy enough. You're busy enough. Well, in the experience, with you doing research and providing documents and things like that, what did you learn about that law, that particular law that put you in the situation? What did you learn about that? Because some people might not know.
Well, one of the things, see, here's the thing. When I went into actually – you know, once I'm incarcerated and my attorneys bring it to me, I was trained on the Castle Doctrine, which stand your ground is like a derivative of the Castle Doctrine, self-defense law.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
I was
mm-hmm.
not aware of stand your ground when they brought it to me. So when they
mm-hmm.
brought it to
mm-hmm.
me and I was, you know, and then they explained it, I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, let's go with it. But as my actions took place that day, as I was trained, because I had a concealed weapons permit, I did not, you know, I was always under this, the idea that it was a duty to retreat. I mean, you had to at all, if you could at all
mm-hmm.
avoid a fatal, then that's what you would do prior to having to take lethal force. And so that's
mm-hmm.
what
that's
I
true.
Would do. Stand your ground, you know, it needs work, you know what I mean? Because I'm going to just
right.
say it's not going anywhere, because it's just not, you know, NRA, gun, it's
okay.
not going anywhere, but it needs
okay.
work. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's,
yeah.
because I know it's not going anywhere, I would rather fight the fight of making the changes that need to be made rather than going at an angle that I believe is a really steep climb versus not having any change
mm-hmm.
or progress at all. So
that's
what I learned about it was that it's, you know, just doing some research on it, and there's actually a database, there's a link that a Tampa Tribune did a actual study on it. And it was just the interpretation of it currently. And then, you know, giving it to people who really don't understand it themselves, and I could even say judges, and being able to say, oh, well, okay, well, this one works for one, and then this one doesn't. And then seeing biasness come into play, you know what I mean? And,
right.
you know, it, may it be who you are, male, female, your skin color, what was
your
actually going on
in
life. Time. Those, your status, exactly. Those also played a role in people's ability to make the judgment call based on that law. So, you know, I realized, and I think right around that time, you know, that, you know, there was another national case that had, you know, came out. And so it was a very controversial law. So I believe personally, when I went in to actually have my stand your ground hearing, that we convened it on one day of trial, and the judge was like, please go work this out. Like, the attorneys wanted it to be worked out because it was so evident that it was a self-defense case. But it was very that law was controversial, and I believe people for political reasons didn't want to rule in my, you know, in the favor of me using that.
I understand.
Wow.
I see that. Wow, that is
you know, it's crazy because when biasness comes into play in different situations, that's when they, you know, they kind of, you know, don't want to favor the individual when they see point blank that the person was using self-defense, but they try to use whatever.
Right.
Well, sometimes they even come up with fake evidence. You know, we already know that some of these people try to forge things in order to pass their case in or get it over and done with, you know. And it's sad because then you're the innocent bystander dealing with that situation. You had it, didn't it also, you know, because coming up soon and later on in this year will be Domestic Violence Month. You know, dealing with that, you know, when did you say, okay, enough is enough? Because, I mean, you have beautiful children, you know, and it's a lot, you know, because women sometimes I've been in domestic violence myself, and I'm ex-military, so I know when you're saying about the weapons, about, you know, you do a warning shot, you know, you try not to, you know, actually have a fatal situation. You know, but at the end of the day, when you're in that life or death situation, because you don't know if that person is trying to kill you or not, you know, and having children and dealing with a domestic violence situation, you're like, I want to stay for the kids. I want to, you know, make this happen. But, you know, I can't do this because this dude could kill me. And then who's going to take care of my kids? You know, so what made you say, okay, enough is enough? You.
Well, you know, there's a lot of circumstances going on that day. I had planned to leave, but, you know, for most people who don't know, if some of them may, that when you're trying to exit a relationship, that you're at the key, most critical time as a victim. Your ability to live and leave is very, very, it's very high. You can't do it. You know what I mean? So it's a very critical time for a victim to leave during, you know, that's in that relationship when they're leaving, exit is the most difficult. You know, I was doing so, but he did not, you know, he didn't know. I was, of course, doing it quietly. And I had just had a baby. You know what I mean? My baby was, like, literally in the hospital because she was premature. You know, and that was one of the things that got lost in all this, was that the fact that my premature baby was in the actual hospital. And so that day, you know, I'm breast milk, you know, and let me just kind of set it up as really brief as I can. I'm like, you know, back and forth to the hospital. That hospital from my house is about 30 to 45 minutes away. I'm going out there, pumping milk, taking her milk. If I can feed her, I would stay to the next feeding. Sometimes I would sleep in my car. I'm going back to the hospital twice a day to see her. And then some days, you know, in some hours sleeping in the car and pumping milk. And when you have
kids, you
have to pump milk
every
3 hours.
And you didn't put... And you didn't fully heal all the way, too, because you just had a baby.
No,
so
I mean,
you still got to heal
absolutely.
And all that.
Like, for women, that's our closest thing to death, right? It's like giving birth.
Exactly.
So, you know, so I'm exhausted. I just gave birth. I'm, you know, doing all these things. And then today, you want to jump on me again. And I just was like, listen, today I can't fight. Like, I can't do that today. I'm not going to do that today.
Mm-hmm.
And number one thing is I got to get back to my baby. I got to be okay to get back to my baby. You know,
exactly.
I locked myself in the bathroom. You know, that was said most, but I did. I tried to avoid that, you know, as best I could. You know, but what happened. And actually, you know, this is not a sitting. Everybody's like, oh, well, I would have shot him. You don't know what you would have did until you're in a situation one.
Right.
This is not some intruder. I did not know. This was my
No.
Husband. You understand
right.
what I'm saying? And
exactly.
it's not in me to do that. I'm glad I didn't because I don't have to live with
I'm
that. But I've been
yeah.
through a lot. But, it, you know, it worked. What I did was fire shot, it scared him, and he left. And it was able to,
exactly.
I was able to do so without, you know, literally casualty.
And thank God, that saved your life.
You made the
that
right choice.
Your life.
Definitely. He's alive. You're alive. The children, you know, the children are fine. You made the, but the circumstances that follow,
right.
you know, it really hurts my heart because you're telling the story of everything that you were going through. And because I'm a woman and I'm a mother and Lush is a woman and she's a mother, we understand, you know, not everybody can understand what you explain, you know, a male
right.
may not be able to relate, but it's a lot on us when we're new mothers. You know, and it's a lot on us when we have a relationship that is not what we expect, a loving relationship. And I've been there, so I understand. And I had to exit myself, but I did, you know, I had to do it on a sneak tip, you know, had to have someone come in and move me out without telling, you know, so I was there. And Lush, you just said you were too, so we understand definitely.
Like she stated prior, she said at that time when you're in that, it's so intense because you're dealing with
is.
So much. You're like, I love this person, but I know
you
this isn't the right situation
yes.
for me and my kids. It's toxic, you
no.
know what I'm saying? So
right.
it's like I don't want to hurt that person, but I don't want them to hurt me. So it's a lot going
right.
on, you know. So you can't say, "Oh, go ahead and shoot. Go ahead and do this," because you're not
no.
in that moment at that time.
No.
All you want to do is
it's
survive
too much.
And avoid
it's
that
too much
situation that
yeah.
possibly happen. Yeah,
it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. So as far as domestic violence is concerned, you know, we know that that's dear to your heart, and that's something that you're going out and speaking on, and we do appreciate that as well because I'm actually working with Miss Black America now, the new Miss Black America for 2016-17, Nicole Lynn, and that's one of her platforms. And, you know, so, you know, I understand what goes into that, and it's emotional. It's an emotional thing to do. So for people, you know, that don't understand that people speaking on it is coming from a place, you know, that is very deep, you know. So what exactly is your goal with that? And what can people expect when they hear you speak on that? And how can people, you know, actually secure you for an engagement if they want to hear that?
I'm pretty candid and transparent. You know what I mean? Like, because I feel like you have to be. I think there's, for me, the goal is at some point to be able to provide services. But right now it's a conversation. I believe there's things that need to be put aside, like the shaming and making people, cause a lot of people get question. I get the questions, you know, in a sense that, you know, well, why this and why that, which I don't mind answering those questions because a lot of times you
right.
don't know what you don't know, you know what I mean? And I don't mind answering them. But there's a lot of shame and stigma to that, and a lot of people won't speak up about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so just understanding how deep that rabbit hole goes from, you know, an emotional standpoint, brokenness too, just all the way up to, you know, financial and other different things that impact that very
yes.
toxic and you know, the relationship that was just intense and it's honestly, if I could compare it, I used to say this, it's like a slow leaking gas. You know what I mean? That you can't, with gas you can't really see it, but you might be able to smell it depending on what kind of gas it is, and all of a sudden, you know what I mean, you're dying slowly. You know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes, carbon monoxide.
Then,
yeah.
Exactly. So then, you know, and so for me, I was fortunate in the sense, for one, I don't put up with a whole lot of foolishness. You know, this would have been the first time I've ever experienced it. I did not know. I had not known anybody in a relationship. I had never really, had some type of awareness. You know, I see domestic violence. I was like, okay, I know what that is. But I didn't know when I was in the situation what it actually looked like. So I think
right.
kind of breaking down the science of you know, what an actual profile of an abuser is or the abusive type person, what they do, because they all do the same thing. They essentially do all the same thing as a personality type, and they do the same thing. And then allowing women to feel safe enough to talk to people without the judgment and all the other things, and continuing to stay engaged despite the decision they choose whether to be with that person or not, which is very difficult for most people, because a lot of times they care so much they don't want to see them go through it, so they cut them off. But it's, you know, it is in those times when my mom was like, I'm coming over to your house, and she would stay and wouldn't leave, that meant everything to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
but I want to touch on a point with what Marissa was talking about with the judging, because I've had some people that have trying to get out of a relationship, but because they're so deep in the church is telling them to stay, even though they know they're getting abused, you know?
That has happened.
So you got issues like that, too. You know, so it's a lot that you're dealing with, you know.
Yeah.
So sometimes you
don't
know who to trust and who's,
And that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true, because you really don't. And then somebody who hasn't been through that, I mean, it's not going to be able to give you, you know, a perspective that would be, you know, best for you. And so I have those conversations. I say things, and I don't mind going there, even if it's not, you know, even for myself, I'll speak on things about just where I was as a woman in my life, because I really wasn't at my womanhood. I had all the responsibilities of a woman, but I really wasn't. I'm a woman now, by all means, but I was still kind of maturing in the sense of relationship, and how that linked back to my first love, which was my father. I mean, like, I go there because it's true. You know what I'm saying? It may not be all the time, but it is true.
Yeah, that is true.
So,
okay,
you know, as far as connecting with me, they can reach me on my website at marissaalexander.org, and then there's a contact, you know, email a contact, and I always get those emails and information. It always comes directly to me or somebody on my team.
Okay, that's great. Yes, we're going to definitely, I'm going to post that on my site on the Grind with Rhonda Supreme for people who would be able to utilize that, because we want to help. We definitely want to help our sisters in need. And, you know, that definitely is an avenue that they can take. And you're right. You know, only someone who's been through it can really 100% understand what they're feeling and going through. You know, domestic violence starts with, you know, like a mental type of abuse. You know, you don't see it coming because it eases in. And before you know it, you're in something that you don't want to be in. So, you know, we have to be able to help people get out of it, and this is a great way to do it. You know, we're coming to the end of the show, so we want to make sure, where are you now in your legal fight, your legal battle, and give us a little bit information on that so maybe other people can understand exactly what the process is. You know, this is a little different, but you know, you never know. People might experience something similar to what you've been through. So where are you now?
Well, where I am right now is I completed the terms of my probation, and that was I got off of house arrest. I completed that on January 27th. I was completed with everything. So I am under no sanctions under the state. I can go, you know, wherever I want to go.
Great.
I don't owe any more money, none of that thing. So I'm completed with that. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you. So, you know, essentially my battle with that was almost a seven-year battle.
Wow.
You know, through the system and being incarcerated to, you know, trial and to prison, from prison back to when my case was overturned. And once it was overturned, just waiting for me to go back to trial, that was almost a year. And then, you know, once I accepted the plea, which, you know, people, you know, respond to, you know, I accepted the original plea, you know, that wouldn't necessarily wasn't the case. But nonetheless, it was a decision I had to make at the end of the day concerning all the things that was going on, and meaning that I absolutely been through it, knew this time it was not going to be about the facts. You know what I mean? That's another thing. When you know, go into a situation like that, and, you know, I was all for, okay, let me go to trial because I know I'm right. It, you know, it wasn't.
Sure.
It's nothing like what you see on TV. People, please. It is not.
It's not
like
law and order. It's not law and order.
No, it's not. Definitely not.
Far from that, you know what I mean? But anyway, And so I've completed with everything, and, you know, understanding what you can and what you can't do. Now, in Florida, we have minimum mandatory for gun charges.
Okay.
And essentially, when the legislature brought that into effect, it was really for habitual violent offenders. It was not supposed to be for, you know, working people who had permits in their home. It was not, that wasn't the intent of it.
It wasn't
However,
intent, right.
No, that was, I don't believe that was the intent of the legislation. However, prosecution has a lot of discretion, and that was the discretion of the prosecutor to enhance that.
That's
thus overcharging me with an aggravated
what
assault.
What you're telling me
yeah.
is unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
Yeah. But that
wow.
is crazy. However, that's being done in a lot of cases to force people into pleas, to force people into time. And so when you have a situation, you know, like I did, you know, a lot of times people are having to be getting hit with enhancements for things they shouldn't to force them into something. And if you go to trial and lose, then obviously you're going to get the max. So
right.
these are just things that people, you know, have to consider. The number one thing I would say, if at all
mm-hmm.
possible, is the key
mm-hmm.
is to remain silent until you get counsel.
Oh,
that
definitely.
Makes
exactly.
up more people
exactly.
than I could tell you, you know, and even for
Do
myself, you know,
word.
I didn't feel like I did anything wrong. You know, I was like, well, yeah, this is what happened. Go look up, you know, restraining order, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-mm.
I would just say, keep quiet. It's going to make them upset. They're not going to like it, but you're a heck of a lot better position.
It will
you
benefit
say
you in the long run.
In the long run.
Right.
Right. Right. So that would be one of the things I would say. And then, of course, to not lay down. If you believe in what you did, if you believe you're not being treated fairly or
mm-hmm.
whatnot, you know, because, I mean, money is, and honestly, money is an issue, too. You know, sometimes having a lot of money and access and privilege, obviously we've seen where it works in some people's behalf than others. However, for me, I didn't care about none of that. I was going to fight for mine. You know what I mean? So I would say not to give up.
Okay,
definitely.
I like that.
As for your children, how was it? You know, just were you able to keep in contact with them during
yes? What was the
situation? How was that?
Well, you know, with my twins, you know, I kept in contact with them. They were about 10, 11 years old, and you know, their father and I have a you know really good co-parenting relationship, so I was able to see them. My family was keeping them. Now, my baby girl, once I was, you know, taken into custody, and she was about 6 months old, he took her, and I didn't see her. My family didn't see her. I didn't see her again until she was 3. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I didn't see her again.
That hurts my heart.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. So, I mean, that was, you know, that was a choice he made. But I just had to pray about it, for one, two, and literally give her, I had to act like I only had 2 kids to get through that. That's too difficult to have a child out there to not know anything about how she's doing. You know what I mean? So, but now, you know, I got out and I, you know, got my visitation at first, which, you know, that was difficult.
Right.
But now that, you know, everything is taken care of, we have shared custody. So I got pretty much all my kids. My twins are pretty much with me all the time.
Great.
But my baby girl is between me and him.
Shared custody. That, you know, now that you've told me that, I have even more admiration for your strength, because I don't know how I could have gotten through that, but you figured out a way. So I admire you for that. I really do.
Definitely.
I would have never known. And I, you know what? And
being separated from your kids is a lot.
It is.
Well,
it really is.
Yeah. And then to not know about, like, you know, when I tell you guys, I did not know where she was, who had her. I knew nothing.
Yeah,
you know, it was hard.
Worse.
It was very hard. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I am so happy that you are reunited with your children and your family, and everything is going forward, moving forward. It's on track to where you want it to be, and this is very good news, I'm sure. The listeners are very happy for you as well, because the story, you know, it was national, and not everybody knows exactly what came of it. And now we do. And we know that, you know, your strength got you through it and you learned a lot. I mean, you know, helping the law team with your case and getting very involved. And yeah, it's just, it's a story that, you know, no one will forget. Definitely. No one will forget.
You're a walking testimony of hope for a lot of people.
Yeah, you have to keep us updated. Definitely. And we can utilize you on certain levels of, you know, I know you're a speaker, a public speaker, so we'll put the word out there for you for sure.
I don't mind coming to talk to the people. That's what I really want. Yeah. Like, this is, I didn't want anything other than to come back and give out with all the people doing across the nation. You know, it was even international. I said, when I'm done, I'm going to give back. Like, these people rallied and protested for me. I'm going to go back out and do that. And, you know, and so that's what's important to me. That's my, that's the,
very
it's joy in giving, and that's the best way to go ahead and do that. So I'm going to lend my voice and whatever else I can, because people did the same for me when I was in my struggle.
Giving back. Amen. That's what it's all about. And we have to stick together as a community and as sisters. We're sisters, and we have to stick together. So anything you would need from me, Rhonda Supreme, or my sister Lush here, because we're like sisters, believe me, just let us know. We're here. I'm in New Jersey, and Lush is in Maryland. So, but we see each other often. Yeah, we see each other often. So anything you need, just reach out. Definitely reach out to us. We will be there for you. We appreciate you, and we appreciate your time today on the Ground with Rhonda Supreme on Lush Radio Online. So you have blessed rest of the week. And reach out to us. Definitely.
And
definitely.
Stay warm.
Anything you need. Oh, yes.
Oh, we're going to stay warm, yes. Did you know that storm was kind of fake, though? That storm was fake.
It was kind of a fake storm. But it's okay. Lush's birthday party is this weekend coming up. So I'm going to see her. I'm going to see her.
Oh, happy birthday, Lush.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're going to celebrate. Celebrate life. We're going to celebrate life
and
sisterhood. And we're going to keep that going.
Thank you.
So thank you
so
much.
Y'all are awesome. Thank you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Actually, we really appreciate the time and all the words, everything that you explained to us.
And people can reach me at my website at marissaalexander.org, and MHAP. _MarissaAlexander is my IG and Twitter account, so they can reach out to me.
That's great. And we'll post it. We'll post that on our social media. I'm at Rhonda Supreme on all social media. And Lush is Lush Radio Online.
Lush Radio.
All right, well, have a good day, and thank you so much for your time. All right.
All righty.
That was Marissa Alexander. We appreciate her time on the show today. And the words that she gave us, you know, just the stories weren't so much just the words of inspiration. Oh, my goodness. You know, she just got through some very trying times, and she explained to us how she did it. So that hopefully it gives somebody else some hope, you know, where they didn't have it, you know, and I think that's what our show is all about, you know, just giving people information, hope, and a way to make it through. So that was beautiful.
Definitely.
And I have to thank you again, Lush, for allowing me to utilize Lush Radio Online for my show today. Marissa Alexander was amazing, and I knew that would benefit both of us. Just speaking with her, you know, it gives me, I don't know, it just gives me inspiration. You know what I mean? So we need a little inspiration at times too.
Yeah. Cause I'm thinking about her just being separated from her kids. Like me being separated from my daughter. I don't know
how
to do it. Like, you know, especially when you just had her, like you just had your kid. Like she has a lot of strength in her, and you know, it hurt me too. I was like, but she overcome, and I just thank God that she's with her family, she's doing well, and she's doing amazing things for the community. So many of you guys that are listening, make sure you support, and if you do see the signs of a controlling individual, and domestic violence comes both ways, whether it's same sex or whatever the situation is, you know.
It sure does.
You got a person that's controlling, they will cut you off from people, you know, they are aggressive. You know, and sometimes they deal with their own insecurity. So, you know, make sure you pay attention to the warning signs and get out before it's too late.
Yeah.
You know,
it starts with the mental, you know, sometimes it's not physical right away. And, you know, exactly. if they're downgrading or degrading you and beating you down mentally, just know that that's domestic violence too. You know, it doesn't have
verbal
to be somebody actually physically
verbal
hitting
abuse.
You. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just know those signs. And reach out to anybody that you know is in the position to help. You know, there's all types of organizations. You can look them up. You know, it's they're listed now. Social media has it listed. You can look it up, Google it.
Definitely.
And we'll also do that, too, and we'll provide some of those numbers on our sites on the ground with Rhonda Supreme. I'm going to make sure I put that up on the site as well.
Once we air, we'll have a list of stuff on Rhonda Supreme's site and Lush Radio Online, because this is something that definitely needs to be put to light, because even with legislation in Congress now, they're kind of trying to, you know, retract, you know, supporting women in domestic issues and self-defense. So
yes,
we
they
need
are.
To, you know, continue to fight the fight and keep people aware that, you know, people are getting killed every single day from domestic violence. So we have to stand up and we have to fight for our rights as women. So, you know,
yeah,
so
we have to put it on the forefront.
Show. Mm-hmm. So love, peace, and chicken grease. You already know what it is.
Absolutely.
Support, you know, Lush Radio Online and Rhonda Supreme, you know, when you're live, you know, random
peace and blessings. Peace and blessings on your journey. Thank you for spending this time with us, listeners. Yes, we love our listeners.
Definitely.
And
don't
we
forget to check out Rhonda Supreme.
We'll be back again. Yeah.
Definitely. Check out Rhonda. She'll be on the show. She's a new member to the team. She's going to be live on Lush Radio Online soon. You'll be listening to more of her show. And Rhonda, how can they check you out on social media?
My social media is all at Rhonda Supreme. That's on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And you can reach out to me also on my website, www.rhondasupreme.com. Absolutely. Thank you so much. All right.
Everything is at Lush Radio Online. You already know what it is. We're going
to
go ahead and play some Michael Jackson. They don't really care about us. And we love you.
We keep it easy.
We don't do it for
us. We keep it easy.
We do it for the people. You already know what it is.
All right. Peace.